Welcome to Program 3 of Kelly Jolkowski's Psychics and Missing People series.
Hello, I'm Al Rasmussen for the Missing People podcast. Please be warned that some of the information presented contains graphic descriptions of violent acts which may be disturbing to you. Also, we recommend that young people listen to these programs only with the direct participation of their parents or other appropriate adult guardianship.
I try to find the humor in some of the things that have happened. After the very intense beginning of this series, today's post may be a needed change for both of us. Once Project Jason began, psychics started to come out of the woodwork again, often wanting me to put them in touch with our families. There was no chance of that. When I received the first email from the scammers in today's story, I wondered if there was something legally I could do about it. I thought that since he was from a foreign country, that perhaps he would be sent back for doing this sort of thing. What follows is a dialogue between the scammer and me. He starts out with a clear guarantee to locate a missing person, but that gets watered down towards the end. We have changed the names and locations provided in the letter, as well as eliminated some of the associations the writer alleged. However, when possible, we have used exactly the wording and context used by the sender.
Dear Kelly and your family, my name is Robert. I'm a researcher at the University of Blank. I have a wife and a 9-month-old baby girl. I began studying under a Fulbright scholarship, and I will be glad to verify all the information. You can search my name at the university's webpage. I decided to contact you because after thinking of this for a long time, I decided to use the abilities that I and one of my friends have to find missing people. I will briefly tell you what we do so you can have an idea. I have a partner in South America and working together in more or less a month since the moment we are authorized to proceed by the families, we can help to find missing people. This work is guaranteed. In my country, this method has been used to find kidnapped people, among other uses. This method also allows to detect if the missing person is alive or dead. I want to be totally honest and transparent with you. We do not do this work for free. I want to use our abilities, mine and my friend's capabilities, as an additional source of income. The money that we expect to obtain from this type of work will be used in helping people in need in our country, and I will be happy to verify this information for you. I would be more than happy to meet with you to explain you the option that I am offering. I hope that you can find in my message the transparency and honesty that I want to show you. My life is dedicated to science, but exploiting these extra abilities will help me to get the resources for helping more people in my country and my community, as well as helping families victims of violence. Please make this message invitation extensive to your family. Sincerely, Robert, University of Blank.
Well, this communication was just the first of many back and forth communications. During the process, I pressed for explanatory information and used a number of approaches to find out more about this person, including flattery. The bottom line on this was this young man was attempting to get tens of thousands of dollars. Additionally, his initial 100% guarantee eroded over time as well. Toward the end of our communication, I sent him congratulations on an award he claimed to have received and asked him about his much-touted mentor and whether he was still employed at the university.
Thanks a lot for your words. I still have a picture of that day. Yes, my mentor is still a member of the university. I would have to ask him if he does want me to release his name and information for this issues. I think for him it would be a difficult decision to make. I had a really hard time trying to show him that psychic ways are also a way to approach science. But if he agrees to serve as a reference, I would be happy to release his information. A scientist acknowledging extrasensorial alternatives is seen as a crazy scientist, and my mentor does not want to be seen like that. I can guarantee you 100%, but I will try to convince him.
Robert had made many assertions as to the great capabilities of the psychic system he and his friend from South America had worked out. I asked directly, If it can do all that, why don't you pick the winning Powerball numbers? I would if it was me. Why don't we hear more about it in the news?
Well, winning the Powerball has several things into consideration. The most important is that when you try to win the lottery, you are not only managing your own energetic vibration with numbers, but also the vibration and anxiety of every person playing the lottery, too. And that is a real challenge. Winning the lottery becomes a long-term goal. What I can tell you is that each person has some vibrational numbers, and their energy can be focused for such purposes, but it does not mean that it has to happen as soon as they get the energy focused in that direction. I have seen psychic people who are able to bend spoons, or Eastern yoga masters that set paper on fire with their bare hands. My friend and I would not bend a spoon unless we use brute force and the spoon is made of soft material. What I mean is that each person has some abilities more developed than others, and that is imprinted in the energy in the same way the color of eyes is determined by the genes that both parents give to their sons and daughters.
I responded succinctly, "That's good because a lot of people don't believe in those sorts of things." Robert soon responded,
"Tarot, Ouija, and many other things are part of many tools developed through human history. I know that there is a certain degree of truth in some of these elements, and I do not criticize positively or negatively any of those methods, but as I mentioned to you, we do not use them. Kelly, I am happy that you have all these questions to ask. We could spend many time on the mail talking about this. If you agree, I would prefer to talk to you on the phone so that I can solve all your questions and make a list of the things that you expect as references. If you doubt in this work, and I do not feel bad if you do, I would be happy to invite you to meet me and visit the place where I work and live. I truly believe that I came to this planet to do research, specifically in the field of cancer research. That is my main interest. I am not in the news, nor have I tried to use this method before for that same reason. My life is science, and I have not tried to interfere or modify anything happens around me. Still, after analyzing this issue, I realized that my friend and I could work on this without changing the main goal of our lives. Finally, if I did show up on TV, my personal life would change. In fact, I would not have private life, and I want to be known by my merits in science, but still have privacy. Moreover, some cases involve some type of danger, so privacy is an important factor. Kelly, finally, I would like to ask you something. Are you really interested? Do you know of any person really interested in having cases solved? As I mentioned, I would be happy to talk to you on the phone and solve your questions quickly. I wish you the best, and I hope you can talk to me soon. Best regards, Robert.
After this communication, I didn't bother to write back. Although he wrote back after a time, and I told him I had been too busy to take a look at it again. After that, he received a visit from the university police. I would think that the university would not want someone like him working for them. Surely, they would be unhappy that he was using their emails and computers to run a scam. So I tried to get as much information out of him as I could, pretending to be an emotional wreck, thus gullible. I was hoping that something he would reveal would get him into hot water. I did not want him to find a truly gullible person and waste their money. I spoke to the FBI about this man. They said they only became involved in larger dollar amounts. The university police said that unless money passed hands, no crime had been committed. The only action they took, at my request, was to let him know that there was a complaint, and they also warned him not to use the computers for his business. I did send an email to all of our families warning them of this scammer. Funny thing, I've never heard of his successful career as a psychic. So much for guarantees. I hope that no one was taken in by this nonsense. One of the programs of sanity we really appreciate is the James Randi Educational Foundation. Not only are they a wonderful research resource, but they have an excellent online forum. The following testimonial comes from a JREF forum member, Catherine, whose username is ChillZero. She titled her comments, "A Personal Journey from Mysticism to Clarity." She writes from the perspective of skepticism, with an established background of belief in the paranormal. Having examined how psychics arrive at their predictions from both sides of the fence, Catherine reveals how they perform. it may be worth highlighting here that any psychic who appears on the media is granted permission to do so only under the laws that govern entertainment, and so the word perform is most appropriate.
I used to believe I had psychic abilities. I gave tarot readings. I consulted my spirit guide, and I believed in the spirit of nature as being a force in all things. I would not consider the old me to be a con artist. I was not intentionally deceiving people. I honestly believed I was given the ability to interpret signs and that I was using it for good. So I believed I was genuine, as did plenty of other people. I could read the traffic around me uncannily well, knowing when a driver was about to turn suddenly or not turn when they signaled to. I was good at reading tarot cards and at helping people come to decisions about events in their lives. I would spook people by telling them who was calling when the phone rang, or that someone we were waiting for had just come into the bar, although my back was turned to the door, that sort of thing. However, even as I did all this, I constantly came up with questions about what I was doing and how I managed to do it. Why could I only get instinctive flashes about things? Why could I not use this power when I concentrated hard on something important? What about the times I was wrong, although they were freakishly few, even looking back as a hardened skeptic? What happened then? The New Age people I was involved with had no tolerance for such curiosity. They felt I should just accept my gift unquestioningly and use it to the best extent I could. But I was never satisfied with this. Finally, guided by some skeptics, I tested myself on what external information I could possibly have noticed and realized that I am more of an expert on body language or verbal subtleties than most. I soon realized that I was very good at picking up subliminal signals from people or noticing things in the distance. In traffic, I could see reflections in street side windows or a change in the lights on the ground of the road where a car was approaching unseen. Phone calls were often a matter of logical assumption and deduction. It was all a matter of fast, critical, logical thinking. With doing readings, I realized I was getting a lot more information about a person's situation from them or their friends, often before we even met to read. I wasn't asking for it or actively seeking it out, but I picked up on things that were said, or more, the way they were said. I filed information away and didn't even fully realize that this mental library was where I was drawing information from when I spoke to them later. As I read tarot, I could discern from the other person's reactions whether I was on track or completely wrong, and was horrified to realize during one reading that I had adjusted what I told them accordingly. This realization rocked my self-perception completely, and I felt unable to continue the deception. Continuing on this path would have made me a con artist without question. The more I investigated, the less paranormal my abilities seemed to become. I revisited old acquaintances from the New Age shops and conventions I used to frequent, and was disappointed to find that I could apply the same reasoning to what they did. I could reasonably determine what they would tell others and where they had identified that information. Some of my associates were of the sincere belief that they had genuine powers and that they worked for the powers of good. Some others, however, became obvious to me as frauds, who knew that they were able to read and manipulate people and situations to their own benefit or profit. This benefit is not necessarily monetary. It could come in the form of barter, time, advertising, even just by word of mouth, or gifts. One woman in particular was very good at convincing people that she wished to have no reward, no publicity, and so on. And yet the way she did this gained their further confidence and admiration, and ensured that they raved about her to just about everyone they knew. From conversations I had with her, I know this was a deliberate and very effective ploy. Consider this. If a psychic contacts you about your missing family member, then they are obviously aware of your story, and therefore your control over this situation is non-existent. They may have heard radio appeals for information or seen the news bulletins. They may have read the newspapers that covered your plight. They may even have actively researched all of these. They may contact you via a family member or friend. The point is that they already know something, and even if they tell you that they have only been made aware of the smallest bit of information about you, why would you believe a stranger? How can you know how much they actually have managed to learn, or whether they have contacts with the police? If they come to you through a close associate, then no matter how well-intentioned your friend, relative, may be, you can't know how much information they may have passed on, even unintentionally and unwittingly. Even if this psychic genuinely believes in their ability, you can never be certain that they haven't been exposed to more information than perhaps even they realize. Then there is the information they provide. There is no documented evidence that any psychic has ever provided information that led directly and accurately to a missing person. There are plenty of stories of psychic leading police to the general areas where bodies have been found, stories of psychics determining the final fates of people, or identifying a vague description of a perpetrator. These stories are not substantiated by evidence that could confirm that psychics are any more accurate than a non-psychic making an educated guess, and much of this information cannot be verified because of the incredibly high percentage of unsolved cases. Finally, there is the approach that psychics take. At first, most psychics will be incredibly friendly and open. They need to do this to build a semblance of trust between themselves and you. They need you to relax and to feel that you can open up to them. That way you will give out more information and signals than you realize. I know this from experience, although I never realized at the time how manipulative the reading situation could be. I believed I was merely trying to set the other person at ease, but there is definitely a little more to it. Next, psychics tend to be unshakably confident that they are right or must be at least deferred to. I have never yet seen a self-proclaimed psychic defer to anyone else's knowledge of any subject or admit that they were wrong. This was where my problems with my abilities began to shake a little. I knew I wasn't an expert in everything, and was reluctant to insist upon my answers in the face of someone who could possibly know better. A person's confidence in a statement they put forward can make it very difficult for you to consider it critically. It can be frustrating to attempt to discuss it, and that kind of discussion is less likely to happen between you and a psychic when you are already in an altered state of reality. Whether from grief, confusion, lack of sleep, or even years later, lack of closure, and desperate for information. You may like to believe that people in general are not that manipulative, and ask why should psychics be singled out for such criticism. My answer is this. Find your local area's most successful salesperson, an estate agent, a car salesman, or even a higher-priced clothes retailer, for example. Go and observe them selling items. Listen to what they say about their products. Watch how they read signals from their clients and how they adjust their approach to match different types of clients, determined by the client's dress, speech, confidence, or the car they arrive in. See for yourself how much information can be gleaned about a person and their current situation without the benefit of press coverage. Now think, why should psychics be any different? You will be approached with an offer to help. The insinuation will be that you cannot possibly turn this away because it is the closest thing to walking away from your loved one when you see them wave a hand for you to find them. This is nothing more than manipulation of your emotions. You should feel no guilt for ignoring these, quote, leads, end quote, that do not arise from any established evidential route. They may claim that they cannot rest, that they cannot quiet the voices until they give you the information. This makes a direct connection to your own sleepless nights and lack of closure. It is a play on your grief that should not be tolerated. I never lost a family member, but I have several continuous years of incredible misfortune, and I can personally vouch for the negative side of believing in psychic ability. I got plenty of help initially, but this waned as my misfortunes just continued to increase. I suffered for years as my New Age associates explained karma to me. Everything happens for a reason. Everything you do comes back to you. Things only happen to you that you deserve to experience. In other words, when bad things happen to you, you personally did something to deserve it. Maybe not even in this lifetime. All events are lessons to learn, and if things don't get better, then you are clearly failing to learn the correct lesson. I consider this attitude highly abusive, and it cost me many years of personal growth and comfort when I was made to believe that basically I deserved everything I got and that I wasn't doing the right things to make things go right again. My mental health suffered dramatically as a result, because it was frustrating and depressing in the extreme to experience what I was going through, let alone to be made to feel that it was all my own fault anyway. I am here now to tell you that this is wrong. It is not your fault that this terrible thing has happened. You are not being punished for past life sins, and nor is your loved one. You have no cause for guilt if you turn a psychic's offer of, quote, help, end quote, away. If a psychic contacts you to offer their help, hand them a load of posters to distribute, or bring them on a land search if you are still at that stage. Make their help be productive to you, and consider why they would not join in this kind of effort if they really, quote, felt, end quote, your plight, as they claim to. They may ask you to weigh up what they have to gain against what you have to lose for a simple conversation. Well, just think about this for a moment. They usually gain publicity even if they do not perform well. They will always have apologizers to justify whatever they may get wrong. Even if they are completely wrong, they can still gain sympathy with believers because at least they did their duty to try to help. They also step into your life for a while. They gain involvement in your personal trauma and become involved in a drama outside their own lives. What do you lose? You lose time. You spend energy that you need for yourself and those that are still around you. You get distracted from your control of your situation. Having to incorporate new opinions and ideas into the steep learning curve that you are already having to cope with. You may get ideas for new areas to pursue. This may even lead the police in new directions. Those directions could, unfortunately, distract effort away from the correct areas for concern. There are no genuine mediums. There are people with genuine intentions, but not psychic powers. There are people who could be helpful if you were discussing difficult choices you need to make, but often your friends can do that for you without the mumbo-jumbo. It's a matter of reading, yes, but not reading cards or signs or what spirits show you. It's a matter of reading the environment and the person before them. And then there are the con artists who read the newspapers, audience listings, area information, websites, etc., to glean what they need, as well as reading the people around them. Don't waste your time and energy trying to distinguish between them. Your focus should remain on your loved ones and not on placating a snubbed psychic or inviting more strangers into your very personal situation.
Missing People Podcast and Project Jason thanks Catherine for her willingness to share her personal story. Knowing it increases our understanding and ability to make rational decisions based upon what may be real and what is definitely imagined. Missing People Podcast and Project Jason understand that many people believe that psychics are effective in solving crimes and finding missing people. Please keep in mind that the goal of this series is to help families understand techniques used by persons making these claims and make better decisions about the use of psychics. Project Jason and its volunteers cannot act as a clearinghouse for persons claiming success in using paranormal means to locate missing persons. We will be unable to respond to emails or other correspondence sent to us from persons making these claims or persons offering information about referrals to psychics. We instead invite those persons to visit the James Randi Education Foundation at www.randi.org. That's www.randi.org. Participating voice talents were Sue Rasmussen as Kelly Jolkowski, Jean Levins as Catherine, and Al Rasmussen as Robert. Written by Kelly Jolkowski. Audio adaptation by David Anderson. Produced and directed by Steve Bronham. Original music created and performed by Ariana Kima. Copyright 2006-2007, all rights reserved. For links to our various sites or additional information, please go to missingpeoplepodcast.com. I'm Al Rasmussen. Thank you for listening.
This concludes Program 3 of Kelly Jolkowski's Psychics and Missing People series.